head football coach Art Briles.
There you go. Give up.
Turn it around the other way. There we go. There we go.
It's been a while, Smokey.
How you been?
I've got out of touch. I'm good. I've had a pretty eventful last couple of years, quite honestly, you know, being over in Italy for a year and then going to Mount Vernon, which has been just unbelievable, a godsend, you know. But the Italy deal, you know, that was great. I coached 26 football games last year as a head coach, you know, 13 in Italy and 13 in over at Mount Vernon, counting the two scrimmages. And it's just been, you know, I'm a football coach, so it's been a fun year.
Was that as raw as you've ever seen as far as getting back to the nuts and bolts of coaching?
If you're talking about Italy, yes.
Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
No, it's and the thing I loved about it is, I mean, those men, I mean, because really the ages on my team were from 16 to 43, you know, and so I had a wide variation of ages. But over there, they just love American football. You know, I mean, they go to mm-hmm. work, and then we come to practice, and it's just it was really an eye-opening back to purity type of football, which, you know, I love. I mean, it was day one every day, you know, teaching and scheming. But the coaches over there are all Italian. You know, I took a couple with me that were American.
Sure.
But they really understand the game. You know, it's amazing.
I watched the constant updates with those documentaries or whatever uh-huh. they were, the podcast. You're back in Waco, Texas.
Yeah. I hadn't been back here in a while. You know, I guess the last time I was back here is when Schillinglaw's daughter got married. You know, I don't know when that was, but yeah, I've kind of been in and out, you know, with everything going on, you know, with me personally, and then, you know, my son and son-in-law professionally, you know, kind of keeping up with them. But, you know, I love Waco. Jan and I, you know, really got to see the town change and grow, and along with the university. So we've got nothing but, you know, a lot of love in our heart for the city of Waco.
Oh, were you nervous at all about coming in tonight?
I don't know if nervous is the right word. I think it's kind of crossing a big hurdle for me, you know, because I hadn't been here in a while. And, you know, so it's just another step on, you know, maybe healing. You know, I don't know if that's the right word, but just, you know, I know there's, you know, I know there's a lot of people here that we know and we love and we trust and we have great friendships with. And so it's, honestly, it's kind of comforting to get back, you know, in Waco, because, like I said, I hadn't been here.
You made the playoffs at Mount Vernon, and I know that there were a lot of the speculation about a job in Missouri, which I don't even think you were ever even contacted, were you?
No.
So there's
not
a report.
Anybody.
There are
yeah.
reports that you were one of the finalists with
yeah,
Petrino,
how about that?
And you never once.
Not a soul. I mean, you know, I don't have an agent. Anything and not a person said a word to me. So I was, you know, I was home. I was in Mount Vernon asleep. Jan was, you know, down around Austin, and I started getting all these texts, you know, like from my son and you know her and my daughters, and you know they're saying, you know, what's going on at Missouri State? And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So what does that so say?
I think it just says that you can throw something out there and it'll catch a little steam. I mean, that's, I guess, I don't know, but it's, you know, it's as quick as it started, it's as quickly as it over, it's over.
Yeah,
you know,
even the president had, for some reason, felt like he needed to make a statement, which
did
is weird.
See, I didn't even know
why
that.
Did he just say that we never did contact you? There were other opportunities you've had, but
yes,
how loyal and how, what did you tell Jason McCullough, who used to be at China Spring, what
yeah.
did you tell him when you took the job at Mount Vernon, if he knew once you're back and you get some traction, there would be interest perhaps elsewhere if there was?
You know, I told him thank you, first and foremost. You know, I mean, I was over in Italy when all this deal went down, and probably would have gone back to Italy this year, you know, because we really liked it over there, just hated being away from home and family, but, you know, loved being able to coach football. And he just called, really, because of Leanne Ramsey, who was on our staff up here at Baylor, and her husband is a lawyer there in Mount Vernon, and yeah, I'm sure you know the story. But anyway, that's how it all went down. But as far as you know, what I told him, he just said, "Coach, you know, just give me 2 years." He said, "If you can do that, will you give me 2 years?" And I said, "I will do, you know, whatever I can do to hold that to my word." And so I've done that so far, and you know, hopefully, Lord willing, I can, you know, finish out next fall there at Mount Vernon. Then we'll see what happens from there. But he's been great. The people there have been unbelievable. The students there are just great. And I've got a great staff. You know, I've got like Kyle Cooper, who was a head coach over at Gatesville for 12 years, and Bob Featherstone, who was his D.C. He's with me. And then there's four guys, you know, of course, that played for me at Baylor. And then James Flanders, who was over in Italy, you know, played at Tulsa, and we brought him over there. And then, you know, so we got a really, really good staff, you know, for any size school. They're just good guys.
As a coach, do you ever stop learning?
Never.
And that's what a clinic is about.
Oh, no, yeah, that's the greatest thing about it. But I tell you, Smoke, the thing that helped me, because really when I had a couple of years where I didn't coach, you know, there's the fall of 16, fall of 17, you know, really not actively coaching, and kind of got back in 18. 18, I went over to Italy, you know, my wife and I, for all October, all November. So we were in it and, you know, preparing. But what Italy taught me is, you know, with the limited practice time and with the different language and different ages and everybody coming from a different place and time, like we'd have guys that get on the train and travel 2 hours just for a workout on Tuesday night. You know, I mean, as silly as it sounds, but practice is kind of overrated. You know, it just is, you know. And I've never been a huge practice guy. I don't know if you kept up with us when we were at Baylor, but we're on the field a very limited amount of time because I always believe that, you know, it's a game. You play the game. You play the game with 11 people, you know. So everything we try to do is all team-oriented. You know, you can do drills, you know, and that kind of stuff, but you can do that anytime. You have to put 11 people on the field and let them play against another 11. Or, as we did in Italy, you know, we just went against air. So all of our practices, you know, we're against air, with the exception of some early back in the fall. And it's it really helped me because it made me be simpler. And it also taught me that, you know, if you can communicate and get the guys to do what they need to do at a fast pace with simplicity, then you have an opportunity to be successful. So that's been great, and we've carried it over into, you know, kind of what we're doing at Mount Vernon.
You know, you were ahead of the curve, obviously, with so many others, Hal Mumme and some of those as well, Mike Leach, you were at Tech. Now you see the NFL and what they're doing.
Yeah.
And there was always something of interest to you. You were always kind of intrigued by that. Does that validate that type of offense, that it's now truly with what Patrick Mahomes, even though there's still some fundamentals of what the NFL does, has it validated that offense in a way?
Well, I tell you what I've always said, Smoke, and you can go back and check it, but, you know, of course, this would be, counting this year, being my 23rd year of high school ball, and then I've been 17 in and out, you know, college and then Italy. But after coaching high school ball for so much, I mean, you coach who walks through the door. You know, so that's your scheme. You know, that's your system. You know, so you don't have the luxury of an NFL team drafting or college team recruiting. So high school coaches have always had to be cutting edge, you know, because every year is different. Every week could be different, you know. But so what I've always said is it always filters up. It doesn't filter down. It's not like the high schools are watching NFL and we're saying, hey, we're going to do that. No, I mean, in high school, you have to be creative. You have to be different. You have to spread the field. You got to do things to create personnel mismatches. Because in college and pro, everybody's so good that it's a little more schematic, you know. So in high school, you have to really create the advantages that you're looking for usually by personnel. And so I've always said that it filters up. And really, what, you know, we started the zone read in 1990 with a guy named Cody Ledbetter at Stephenville, you know. And I was going no back in 1984 when I was a head coach at Hamlin, Texas, you know, and spreading it out, throwing the ball back then, because I figured out if we're going to ever go deep in the playoffs, we're going to have to do that, you know, because we got beat in the semis year before. So I think it's always filtered up from high school to college. I mean, what I did at U of H and what I did at Baylor is what we did at Stephenville, you know, with it to a certain extent. But the main emphasis of our philosophy is still ingrained in what we do today.
You were in Mount Vernon, and you guys had a great run going, and then all of a sudden there is – a little bit of a snag.
Imagine that.
With the UIL and the District Executive Committee. My question to you is not about the players, the eligibility, whatever. You had almost a zero tolerance when you took that job.
Yeah.
How much did that
hurt me or affect their outcome?
Hurt you,
outcome?
Hurt Mount Vernon, hurt. And also then bring in the he can just not stay away from controversy.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, the thing that helps me with that is that, you know, I mean, the UIL came out and said publicly, you know, either me or any of our coaches had any recruitment of those guys, which is the truth. You know, so that's the truth to the fact. I don't know what's said out there because I don't look, but I know what the facts are. And it's a little disturbing, I mean, quite honestly, because this family moved in good faith. I mean, she's the lady's the breadwinner of the household, and she's able to kind of live wherever she wants to live. And they, you know, had some family that used to be in a little town called Cumbie out there in East Texas.
I know where Cumbie is, yeah.
Not many people do, but they did. And at the time, Lynx was there.
Yep, his dad was coaching.
Yeah, and so, you know, that was their tie-in, and their Lynx is actually married into the family, and that's kind of what got them interested in Mount Vernon. Now, Lynx wasn't on our staff, you know, and he was around there doing a documentary, and he was over in Italy with me and all that kind of stuff.
But anyone care about him doing the documentary until you started winning?
You know, I don't know, Smoke. I really don't know. But I just hate it for the kid. I mean, you know, the senior actually ended up signing with Trinity, and he'll do a great job there, and he'll parlay that into a good Division I school because he's a good football player. You know, and we got the junior back this year. So it's all a moot point now, and it's just one of those things you go through and you learn from it and move on.
I've got a couple of questions I've been wanting to ask you. I've traded some text messages with you, even when you were in Italy, you know, a couple mm-hmm. of different times. I saw you a little bit after all hell broke loose in May of 2016. I guess just as it says, someone that I've always asked the question, and I never have really had a chance to ask you this because I wanted to ask you face-to-face. With all that was happening, what was the allegations of whatever happened? And God knows, I don't know if anyone will ever know the truth. Do you regret not reaching out to the alleged victims that were accusing you, Baylor, players, the university, of whatever the lawsuits were saying?
Well, I mean, just as a human being, of course, you want to reach out to anybody that's you know, been through a traumatic experience and suffered, you know. So that's it. I mean, I don't know the names of victims. You know, I mean, I've never, in my 9 years of being at Baylor, never met, you know, with a victim, either face-to-face or text message or anything. I actually had it set up where I was going to meet with one, and that got, you know, cut out by lawyers really the day before it happened. But, you know, it's hard because I, you know, since facts are coming out as we go along with, you know, it's a university-wide problem, and I feel badly for the students there that Baylor wasn't equipped to take care of them at times when they had a need.
What else do you regret?
Well, I mean, you know, my administrative skills were not where they needed to be. I mean, I was, you know, just coaching football and should have been better with my administrative skills. It would have been nice if we'd have had, you know, policies and procedures and rules in place that dictated exactly what needs to happen in every situation with Title IX, which we didn't have, you know, at the time. But, you know, that's an area, I don't know if regret's the right word, but, you know, concern and care would probably be better, you know, just because I feel like, you know, a lot of people have suffered from this, and it's been hard.
You know, everybody that was on your staff, I think, is working somewhere now. I'm pretty sure there may be one or two that's not.
There's a couple.
Yeah. Either McNeese State or Tulsa or right. Ole Miss or Kendall at Arkansas. Now that all of them have not only gotten one job since 2016, but in some cases two or three, does that allow you to maybe open up even more?
Open up from what standpoint?
Just kind of.
You know, I tell you, Smoke, you know, and you know me. I mean, I'm pretty old school, and I grew up, you know, being taught that actions speak louder than words, and people may doubt what you say, but they'll always believe what you do. So I've just always tried to live my life like it needed to be lived. And I think through the processes that are going on here in the next, you know, year or so, that, you know, there'll be a lot of light shed on, you know, everything that went down at Baylor during that time. And that's, you know, that's what we'll all wait on. I'm for full transparency on everything.
You wish that could come out now?
Sure I do. Wish it could have come out in June of 16.
Mm-hmm.
100%. But I didn't know things in June of 16 that I know now. And to answer your question, does that allow me to talk more? possibly, but you know, I'm not trying to sway anybody. You know, I know the facts, I know the situations, and that's what I live by.
You and I texted you and talked to you a little bit earlier today. I know you got to go to the clinic. We've known each other a long, long time. There are people who have said some horrific things about you. And then, of course, there are people that love you to death. Mm-hmm. It's like the spectrum of high and as low. And there are some people that don't believe you. Mm-hmm. They don't.
Yeah.
How do you react to that? How have you at times slept? Because I can imagine when you are the center of attention for such a long time with everything that was negative, how did you go through that? Here's what the critics will say. Well, who cares about him? What about the victims? And so that's out there as well.
That's fair. Of course it is. Yeah, that's very fair. I care about the victims. You know, like I said, I care about anybody that's been victimized. That's the biggest, you know, problem that I've had through any of is that there were, you know, young people victimized. But how do I handle that or deal with that? I mean, I just think through your, you know, in my position, through my faith in God and my trust in people that I've trusted for years, that I'm able to, you know, sustain and you know, try to keep helping and you know, making a difference to help other people, you know, hopefully not ever have to go through anything like some of these victims have gone through and some of the other people involved.
One more thing on it, if you don't mind. Do you feel like you are yourself kind of starting to get back to normal?
No, I'll never be normal again, Smoke. Mm-hmm. I'm a completely different person today than I was, and you know, on May the 26th, 2016, 100%. You know, good, bad, indifferent. Mostly it's not as good. You know, you talk to my wife. I mean, it's been horrific, you know, as you could imagine. But that's not a concern for others. That's just for me personally, because there's been a lot of people that have been damaged by this. I'm one of the least.
Have you kept up with Baylor at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sure do. You know, I mean, I've kept up with the guys they played with this year. I mean, a bunch of those guys, you know, we recruited and signed, you know. So very proud of the run they've had, you know, no doubt. And, you know, Dave, you know, I hired him at Houston.
Well, yeah, he was on your staff. What did you know about him then?
Well, I was with him at Texas Tech. He was a GA out there. And I was with him at Tech. And then when I got the job at Houston, I hired a guy off the Tech staff from my D.C., and we brought in Randa, the coach of linebackers. So he's a great coach, and he's a real football coach. And that's what I always appreciated about him. He loves the game.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, Smoke. Appreciate
it. Art Briles, Mount Vernon 80 head football coach and former Baylor head coach here in Waco for the coaching clinic here at the Waco Convention Center.